The New Testament book called 2 Timothy was the last letter Paul would send. It was written from a Roman prison cell, where he undoubtedly spent countless hours mulling over his life and longing to return to his friends. In this warm and affectionate letter, Paul offered Timothy wise counsel on how to maintain integrity and especially how to finish his ministry well. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from this emotion-filled section of Paul's letter. And we'll begin by reading the passage together before hearing the sermon Chuck titled, God Breathed Truth.
Find in your Bible 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We begin reading at verse 14 down to the end of the chapter. 2 Timothy 3:14. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Our hope is that our eyes will be opened and our hearts as well to the print that appears before us on the sacred page, and as we live it out, that the Lord will be honored in our doing so.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his newly formatted Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called God Breathed Truth.
Not enough is said about finishing well. Well, we all appreciate and admire a strong start, and of course we admire people who, in the words of one who put it this way, have a long obedience in the same direction, who sustain, who maintain through those difficult mid-years of life. But there's something about finishing well that is just off the chart. You remember the Summer Olympics where the woman who had run that long, marathon, so many meters, I can't remember how long it is. It's too long. And she came around the corner on her way in for that last lap, and she couldn't make it. And she literally fell, stumbled, and some ran out on the track to help her, and she held them back. No, she's going to finish well. And she tried to get up and couldn't get up. She tried again to get up, couldn't get up. And finally, she just crawled. And finally made it across the line. I remember in our home, I stood up and applauded. You know you're getting old when you applaud the television. But I'll tell you, it was a great moment when I saw that woman committed to finishing well. Cynthia and I have a friend who was a decathlete in the Summer Olympics when the Olympics were held in Los Angeles. He tells the true story as he qualified as a decathlete. And as he was going through those 10 grueling events to finish it, he realizes about halfway through there is no way he would ever win. And he lost heart. And he literally pulled out of the event. He went to his car, he left the stadium, and he's on his way home on the freeway. And suddenly he remembers the words of his father. Whatever you start, son, always finish. Trust me on this. He took a U-turn, went back to the stadium, got back in his sweaty gear, and got back into it. And he, of course, did not win, but he finished well. He finished the decathlon. This is Paul's concern as he writes this letter to Timothy in his final words that are written in the Holy Scriptures. Paul is writing to Timothy and he's saying to him in so many words, finish strong, finish well. But before you rush to the conclusion that this is a message for those who are over 80 or into their 90s, understand you don't learn to finish strong late in life. Finishing well doesn't start when you're on the track. It starts years before you ever make it to the track. It starts when you're little. It starts when you're an adolescent, when you're a young adult. Something grips you and you realize what life is about, why it's significant, that its greatest dimensions are eternal, and you're determined to go all the way strong. I don't know of a better epitaph than the simple words, she finished strong, or he ended well. That was Paul's hope for Timothy when he wrote this last letter to him. If you have your Bible open to chapter 1, for example, he tells him right out of the chute, you need to guard this treasure, verse 14, chapter 1, verse 14. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. Timothy, finish well guarding the treasure. It isn't just another scroll that you have under your arm. You have God's written word. You have his truth. Guard it as a spokesman for him, Timothy, as you minister there in Ephesus. When you get to chapter 2, he's still at it. Verse 3, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. In fact, he even refers to athletics in verse 5. If anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Stay at it, Timothy, like a good athlete, well-conditioned, fitted for the race. When you get to chapter 3, he's still saying the same thing. Chapter 3, verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Don't toss in the towel because things get going against you. Don't give up because a few people criticize you. As a matter of fact, verse 13, evil men and women and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Stay at it. Finish the task. Run the race. Don't back off. I don't know how many parents are listening to me right now, but there's a bunch of you out there. And you remember the knot in your throat when you said goodbye to your adult child for the first time. Either they were stepping into the ranks of the military and they'd be gone away from your surveillance, your presence, your word, your counsel, gone. Or how about the time they moved off to college. Isn't it amazing how grown people can cry? We leave them in college and they're all excited about it. We drive away and say, you know, why is he going to make it without me? We're all worried about them in college. Why? Because we're not there. Why are we concerned? We want them to finish well. We'd like them to get through school to start with, and then we want them to finish life well. Or even that feeling when we say goodbye to them and they're blending their hearts with a spouse at the altar, and they're going to be married, and they're going to go off and live their lives, maybe in another state, perhaps another country. Your heart for them says one thing: stay strong, be faithful, finish well. So when we get to these last verses of chapter 3, the apostle is saying these words to younger Timothy because he knows Timothy has years left and the apostle only has hours left. If you were on your deathbed and you were passing along some information, it would be the same kind of thing. You're breathing your last. These are your words. And if our final words are our most significant, then Timothy, 2 Timothy is among Paul's most significant words. But let's do something here for a change. Rather than leaving this in Timothy's court, let's leave it in our court. These are words to you and me. Let's take Paul's words as counsel from the Lord God to us personally. So let's ask the question and answer it four different times and fill in the blanks, if you will. How can I finish well? What's necessary for me to run the race and go all the way to the tape, even if I have to crawl across it? If I'm so physically spent and weak, I can't run it. How can I cross the line and say as I look back, that life was well lived? Four answers come to us from these four verses, and I want you to notice them. One by one, we've given you an outline for you to follow. First of all, by continuing in what we have learned. See verse 14 again, chapter 3. You, however, so this has your name all over it. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. We'll get to that part in a moment. Look at the first part. James Moffat, the Scot, renders this, hold to what you have been taught, hold to your convictions. Mark it down. Those who finish well do so because they don't forget what they have been taught. Reliable, trustworthy, accurate information, nor do they fail to form their own bone-deep convictions. So the good question is, do you know what you believe? Do you know what your belief system is? Can you defend it in a room full of people who aren't believers? Are your convictions such that when you're outnumbered, you don't yield? When everybody else in the company goes off to get smashed or to find another woman for the night, do you have the kind of conviction that says, I'm not going there. I'm not going to be that unfaithful to my family. I'm going back to the hotel and turning in. How do I do that? What's the secret? Well, go back to the verse. We continue in the things we have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom we have learned them. So let's fill in the blank. Number one, we continue in the things we have learned by going back to our original parents and grandparents and family teaching. We go back to our original parents and grandparents and family teaching. Our earliest impressions are our most long-standing truths. We can trace them back, I certainly can in my life, to our original homes. Lincoln said, though he lost his mother young in life, even before he was a teenager, later in life said, no man is poor who has had a godly mother. If your life has been blessed with a godly mother, and even better than that, a godly mother and father, you're miles ahead of the runners. We learn from them the rudiments of the faith and of a walk with God. And I would say next, from our teachers and mentors and close friends. We stay with what we have learned by remembering what our teachers taught us, what our mentors modeled before us, and this is true for Timothy. In his own life, he could remember back to the things he saw in Paul's life. We can only imagine what went on those years that they traveled together. The hard places that they came to. The criticism and attacks that came against Paul, and Timothy must have watched in the shadows or in the wings, watching Paul as he stood firm. Hopefully you have had in your life a few mentors who have modeled for you the life worth living. It will help you finish well. Back to Timothy, and we'll use this by application. Look at verse 15. And, so the sentence continues, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings. Before I go any further, look at the word childhood. It's an interesting Greek word, brephos. Sounds like the word breakfast, B-R-E-P-H-O-S. Brephos refers to an unborn fetus. Luke 1:41, it's used of the baby leaping in the womb when Mary and Elizabeth meet. That word for baby, which is the fetus in the womb of the mother, is leaping, that's brephos. It's used for a newborn, in Luke 2, when the shepherds came to see the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, it's the word for a brand newborn. It's used for a baby in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So it's used for the very, very young child. Now, the reason I go there is because from our earliest years, even months, we are forming impressions regarding things that matter. Now, go to this 15th verse and let's ask the question again. How can I finish well? The second answer we give is by becoming convinced of what we know. Verse 15. And how does that happen? First, by cultivating our own convictions. My parents' convictions were strong, I can assure you. They were very opinionated. My father was unmoved by the people around him. He knew the direction he ought to be going, and he went in that direction. When the union chose to strike, my father went against the union, and he crossed the picket line because he had family with needs at home, and the family needs were greater to him than the union demands. I'll never forget when he came home from work and the windshield was smashed and his face was bloody, and I asked him, how did all of that happen? It looked like he'd been in a wreck. He said, I just crossed the picket line. Why'd you do that, Daddy? He said, because I love you. Because I care about the needs of my family more than the desires of a union. That's conviction. Maybe you don't agree with that. I don't care whether you agree with that or not. And more importantly, my father would not care. Why? Because they were his convictions. When you form your own convictions, you cultivate them on your own, and you do not care what other people say or think or do. I remember as if it were yesterday when I dropped my sea bag on Okinawa and I was 8,000 miles away from wife, mom and dad, sister, brother, family, and friends. It was time to sow wild oats if I wanted to. And I remember thinking, if I don't take care of this right now, I'm going to yield and I'll be in some other woman's bed before the next week is over, as most of the Marines in my outfit were. 93% either head or had venereal disease when I got there. They were shot through with syphilis and gonorrhea and social diseases. Why? Because they cheated on their wives. Because they had sex outside of marriage. He didn't have any convictions. So we're not talking about some ethereal truth that applies to Timothy in the first century. Folks, we're talking about that which we have known from childhood. And thank God for rearing like I enjoyed. And I hope your mother also did this. And your father as well. In fact, let me show you Timothy's, for example. Go back to chapter 1, verse 5. Love this verse. 2 Timothy 1:5. I am mindful, writes Paul, of the sincere faith within you. That's singular, that's Timothy. But it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure that it is in you as well. From his earliest days, Timothy was drinking in God's truth right along with his mother's milk. As she nursed him, she taught him. And what she didn't say, the grandmother did say. And as she sang to him the songs of Zion from the Psalms, the grandmother harmonized. And as she prayed prayers over this little boy, the grandmother said, amen. Mom and grandmother, faithfully pouring their lives into this little brephos, this little boy. By the way, you may not appreciate that if you don't know that Timothy had an unbelieving father. Acts 16:1 tells us he was a Greek, and you never see him mentioned in the spiritual life of Timothy. Quite likely had no deposit into Timothy's spiritual life. So think of the dichotomy. Maybe you were reared in a family like that. Maybe your mother didn't know the Lord, but your father did, or vice versa. And one told you one thing and another told you another. One told you to keep yourself pure and clean until you're married. And the other one says, oh, everybody's going to wild oats. Go ahead and you'll learn a lot by going through the stuff of that. You know, go ahead and have your fling. And you've got these two things to deal with. T- Timothy's in a divided home. John Phillips picks up that picture in his book on the pastoral letters, and he writes this. Timothy's father was a Greek. Likely enough, he had told his little boy stories about the greatness of Greece and her gods and how Mount Olympus was their home. There were many gods, such as Zeus, the father of the gods, Hermes, the messenger of the gods, and Neptune, the god of the sea. Timothy's mother told him that the imaginary, lawless, lustful gods of Greek mythology were really imaginary gods made in the image of fallen man. Timothy's father probably told his boy Homer's tales about Ulysses, Helen of Troy, the Cyclops, Medusa, and the Minotaur. Once upon a time, stories full of adventure, excitement, and narrow escapes. He also told him of historical accounts of Philip of Macedon and Alexander, of Thermopylae, Salamis, the Spartans, and the wars with Persia, of Athens and Mars Hill, of the golden age of Greece and of Plato, Pythagoras, Aristotle, Archimedes, and Herodotus. And little Timothy, no doubt, listened with wide-eyed wonder. But Timothy's mother and grandmother were Jewish. They had other tales to tell Timothy. They told Timothy about Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, David and Goliath, Samson and Delilah, Moses and Pharaoh and Joseph, Jonathan, Jeremiah, Jonah, and Job. These were the stories that captured the mind and heart of Timothy. After all, what was Mount Olympus compared to Mount Moriah, Mount Sinai, Mount Zion? What was Hercules compared with Samson? What were the gods of Greece compared with Elohim, the God of the Jewish people? Who could settle for human reasoning when he could have divine revelation? Love that kind of writing. That's Timothy's childhood. Maybe it was yours. Thank the Lord he listened to the right source. Timothy, listen to me, son. When you're a little older, you're going to have to remember this, because you'll be surrounded in your education by children who will not believe these convictions. Listen closely. Form these convictions yourself. So when we cultivate our own convictions, we begin to end well. We begin to finish our lives well. Here's another one. By gleaning wisdom through our own faith. See the end of verse 15? These things are able to give you the wisdom which leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Remember this simple statement. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. Every generation must hammer out for himself or herself the truths of what we believe and where we stand. There comes a time when each one of us realizes, this is for me.
You're listening to Insight for Living and a study in 2 Timothy 3 with our Bible teacher, Chuck Swindoll. The message is titled, God Breathed Truth. To purchase the CDs or find downloadable audio files for the series, Paul's Swan Song, go to insightworld.org/store. Timothy enjoyed the influence of a godly mother and grandmother, but as Chuck said, we don't inherit our salvation, nor our Christian walk. It's a deeply personal thing that begins when we get serious about reading Scripture and digging into the Bible on our own. Well, with this in mind, Insight for Living is pleased to offer you a helpful resource designed to inspire and guide your private times with God. It's an excerpt from the brand new Swindoll Study Bible. This bold blue leather-like edition contains the Gospel of John with Psalms and Proverbs in the New Living Translation. I'll give you our contact information in just a moment. But first, Chuck, it's been a challenging year, and I know you're prepared to give an important update.
Dave, throughout the summer months, we've had a number of people inquire about reaching our financial goals. So today I want to take a few moments to bring our listening family up to speed. While hundreds of friends responded with generous gifts in June, July, and August, we're still well below what's needed to cover all of our expenses. While looking at the trends going into the end of the year, our wise financial overseers are warning us that we cannot continue at this pace without putting our ministry to listeners in jeopardy. While given this reality, it's critically important to replenish our reserves immediately so that we can continue providing insight for living without interruption. I'm not going to belabor the point here, only to say that if you're benefiting from these daily Bible studies, now is the time to respond with your generous gift to Insight for Living Ministries. If everyone within the sound of my voice does something, God will use every gift, large or small, to close the gap on this temporary deficit. We are not discouraged, let me assure you. In fact, God has bolstered our confidence because we know that our message is firmly established on His truth and fully empowered by His Spirit. Paul wrote this to Timothy in the New Living Translation, 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Let's band together and finish the summer with strength, okay? Dave, please explain how to get in touch.
Okay, if you're listening in the United States, simply call this number, 1-800-772-8888, or go online to insight.org. When you give a donation today, we'd like to send you the book I mentioned a moment ago, The Gospel of John with Psalms and Proverbs in the New Living Translation and from the Swindoll Study Bible. So write us at Insight for Living, Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. That's Post Office Box 5000, Frisco, Texas, 75034. Or give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Online, go to insight.org. Chuck Swindoll continues his study in 2 Timothy tomorrow, Paul's Swan Song. Listen Wednesday to Insight for Living.
The preceding message, God Breathed Truth, was copyrighted in 2009 and 2015, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2015 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.